Very much appreciate Ward leading that song for us before the lesson, because today we are going to be thinking a lot in this lesson about the Bible and about the kind of heart that we need to read and study and learn from the Scriptures, and what we need to do to fulfill our following faithfully of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This year, we are endeavoring to read through the New Testament three different times during 2019. We did this a few years ago, and we're returning to this for 2019 to continue to enrich us in our faith in Jesus Christ and our knowledge of the New Testament. But to clarify this just a little bit, when we did this a few years ago, we gave out a sheet, actually, that was kind of like this, that had a little bit of an explanation on it, and contained all the books and chapters of the New Testament on it in three sections, or the three times, in other words. On the back table, we have put one of those sections that contains all the books and chapters of the New Testament for the kind of the first run-through of the New Testament as you're reading this. And we'll put the others out there, because the intention is, with this little sheet, you can look at the New Testament and you can look at each chapter in the New Testament. And as you read each day, you can mark off the chapters you have read to bring you, as we come to the end of 2019, Lord willing, reading through this three different times. And perhaps I confused things a little bit in the bulletin, because I said something to the effect of reading three chapters a day, and I maybe confused things by putting that, because I was thinking of a Bible reading program that I had used a few years ago, where I read through the New Testament every 90 days, which is every 3 months, and that is about three chapters a day. This is a little bit different, because we'll actually be reading through about every 120 days, every 4 months. Basically, this is what it boils down to. There are 260 chapters in the New Testament. If you read two chapters a day of the New Testament and you loop three times, that gives you 730 chapters. But if each week you read one extra chapter, which is a total of 15 chapters a week, then you will read through the New Testament three complete times. 260 chapters, three different times. And that's only 15 chapters a week. Two chapters a day, plus pick one day a week and read three. And that will take you through the New Testament three times during the year. And this will help us in our Bible reading. We, Brother Carol Robertson, also he found a reading through the New Testament three times a year chart that originally was on three pages that we can make available to you. Carol took it and condensed it a little bit, and if you got really good eyesight or a good magnifying glass, it's on front and back of another page. But we can make either one of those available to you as well. And during 2019, let's all endeavor and strive to read through our Bibles, but particularly as a congregation, let's read through the New Testament three times during this year, and grow in our faith and grow in our knowledge and understanding of God's Word. Because regular, consistent Bible reading will lead to regular, consistent Bible study. We're not just reading the Bible for the sake of reading the Bible. There's got to be something much deeper than that motivating us and driving us to look at God's Word. You remember the Bible tells us itself in Acts 17, verse 11, concerning some people who were in Berea, members of the Lord's church in Berea in the first century. It says these were more fair-minded, more noble than those in Thessalonica, because, why? They searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. You and I ought to be fair-minded and noble like our brethren from 2,000 years ago, and search the Scriptures daily. The more we read, the more we learn, the more we will want to study. You know, most of the books that you and I read are probably 200 years old or less. And yet we're called to read a document when we open up our Bibles that at a minimum is 2,000 years old. And parts of the Scripture, when we look at the Old Testament, are much, much older than that. And we have to see that it still has meaning and relevance and significance and application for our lives today. And we can learn from this book what God expects of me, how I ought to live and serve Him pleasingly and faithfully. And just the very fact that we can find principles and relevance for my life today in a book as old as the Bible is a great indication of its divine origin. That this book comes from God. And it's also an indication of how I'm using my heart and how I am applying my heart when I read this book. And so, with those thoughts in mind, I want us to spend a few moments thinking about the kind of heart that we need to read and study the Scriptures. Number one, we need a spiritual heart. We need a spiritual heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Read with me beginning at verse 11. 1 Corinthians 2:11, as we think about the kind of heart needed to read the Bible, we need a spiritual heart. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, the man of the world, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You see, when we became Christians, when we obeyed the gospel, when we gave our lives to God through Jesus Christ, we became a new person. We became, as the Bible calls it in some other places, a new man. We were remade. We were renewed, spiritually speaking. And now we must approach our lives from a spiritual standpoint. And we must approach all that we do with the spiritual dimension of our lives operating and directing all that we do. And so when we want to learn how we ought to live, that is going to be directed in our hearts and minds by a spiritual mindset, a spiritual heart. You see, when we look back at this text that we're reading, it says, you know, the only way you can know what somebody's thinking is when they tell you. And the only way, you know, that is revealed is by that spirit of that person, by what is actually inside that person. I can't know what you're thinking unless you tell me. We can't know what God is thinking unless He tells us. And through His Spirit, He's told us. And notice how the text tells us in verse 13, these things, an inspired apostle says, these things we also speak. And you know, the things that the apostles spoke were recorded and written down. And we have those in the pages of the New Testament. So here is the message of the Spirit of God in our very hands. And here is the mind of God revealed to us in our very hands. And it is with a new heart, a remade and renewed heart, that we look at the Scriptures. And notice it says the man of the world, verse 14, the natural man, the secular man, the worldly-minded, oriented man cannot know these things because he does not have that spiritual dimension driving and compelling him to learn the truths that the Bible has for us through the Spirit of God. Why? Because the last part of verse 14 says these things are spiritually discerned. You see, I approach this from a spiritual standpoint. I approach this not from a worldly standpoint, but a spiritual standpoint, because I am a new person, a new creation. I have been renewed and remade by the Spirit of God when I faithfully have obeyed Him and follow Him. And by the message of the Spirit contained in the Word of God, now I can focus on that and I can have a spiritual heart and develop a spiritual life and a spiritual mind, and a spiritual relationship with God. So what kind of heart do I need to read and study the Bible? Well, I need to have a spiritual heart. Don't approach the Bible with a worldly heart. Don't approach the Bible with a secular mindset. Don't approach the Bible as the natural man does. Approach the Bible with a spiritual heart. Number two, the kind of heart I need to study the Bible is that I need to have a hungry heart. I need to have a hungry heart. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 tells us to desire the pure milk of the Word as newborn babes, that you may grow thereby. Now, probably all of us in this room are very familiar with a newborn baby desiring to be fed. And, you know, there are no limitations as to how a newborn baby will make it known when a newborn baby is hungry. And a newborn baby wants to focus on one thing. I want to eat. I'm hungry. You know, I'm not going to be distracted. I can't read a book. I can't watch TV. I can't distract myself with anything else. I want to eat, and I want to eat now. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word. I've got to have a hungry heart. You see, I'm going to read the Bible, and I'm going to study the Bible because, like a hungry baby, I'm ready to eat. I'm ready to devour. And I want to dig into what it is that God has to say to me. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And so we find fulfillment and satisfaction and the filling of the emptiness in our hearts through the Bible. Desire the pure milk of the Word. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst after God's will and God's Word. And be filled. Be filled by reading and studying the Bible. Be filled by looking at this book. Be filled by searching the Scriptures daily. We must be determined to work at it. You see, regular, consistent Bible study, regular, consistent Bible reading, it's not a task in the sense of we have to do it, but it's something that we want to do, and we are driven from all other possible activities in life. We're driven from all other distractions in life because we're hungering and thirsting and focused on one thing, the Word of God. So we must have a hungry heart. Number three, here's the third characteristic, a third description of a heart needed for Bible study, is an obedient heart. We must have an obedient heart. You know, it does little good to read and study the Word of God if we're not willing to do what it says. The 119th Psalm is a marvelous tribute to the Word of God. It is a meditation by a person who has put his heart into the Word. and he has meditated and thought and written down for us, and it's recorded by the Spirit of God, all of the excellent attributes of God's Word, and how it can make such a positive and valuable contribution to the lives of those who read and study and follow it. But under this third area, we're thinking about an obedient heart. And when you read the 119th Psalm, you read about a person who is not only in love with the Word of God, has a hungry heart and a spiritual heart, not only desires to know the Word of God, but also wants to follow it faithfully, wants to obey it. You know, here, when you read Psalm 119, here is a person who has invested his life in the Scripture. Here is a person whose life revolves around the Scripture. And because his life revolves around the Scripture, consequently it revolves around the God who gave the Scriptures and his relationship with God. And he wants to be faithful. And he wants to follow faithfully, and he wants to obey. Psalm 119, I want you to look at some verses with me, starting at verse 98. Psalm 119, verse 98. He says, "You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me, your commandments are. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients," in other words, those who have gone before me, "because," why? "I keep your precepts." I want you to notice a couple of things in these three verses that we read. First of all, there's the word commandment. And over and over and over in Psalm 119, you'll see the word commandment or commandments used as a description of God's Word. That's something to hear, believe, and do. That's something we respond to. We're talking about an obedient heart. And the psalmist says, these are commandments. These are things that you are wanting me to do, telling me to do, requiring me to do. And notice he says, because I hear these things, they make me wise. But look further. In verse 100 that we read, he says, I have a great understanding, more than those perhaps who have gone before me, understand more than the ancients, who in this context, probably people who are regarded as wise and those to be admired and respected for what they knew. But he says, I understand greatly why. Look at the last part of verse 100. I keep your precepts. This is an obedient heart. This is a person who has read the Word of God. This is the person who has absorbed the Word of God. But then, after reading it, studying it, and absorbing it, he keeps it. He obeys it. He follows it. It's a command to be obeyed and to respond to positively. And so, I keep your commandments. I keep your precepts. I keep your statutes. You see, the kind of heart that is needed for studying the Bible is this kind of heart. One that will obey. One that will faithfully follow what he reads and studies. We know Jesus tells a parable about this in Matthew chapter 7. In fact, if you would, look at Matthew 7 at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 7, verse 24. Because we're talking about the obedient heart, in Matthew 7, 24, Jesus says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them." See, this person who hears and obeys, who hears and keeps, who hears and faithfully follows, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, and now notice the contrast, and does not do them, does not keep them, does not obey them, does not faithfully follow them, I will liken him unto a foolish man. You see, the man who hears and obeys is wise. Isn't that what Psalm 119 said? The man, Jesus said, who hears and does not obey is foolish. I would liken him to a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains descended, and the winds blew, and they beat on that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Why? Because it was founded on the sand. It didn't have a strong enough foundation. And ultimately, the application that Jesus is making here is that it was not founded on obedience. It was not founded on faithfully following the Word of God. And that's why the house fell, and the house represents our life, our heart. And you want your heart to stand? You want your heart to be secure? You want your heart to survive? Obey the Word of God. Because when we hear but refuse to obey, our hearts are in danger of destruction and total loss. And so the kind of heart we need to study the Word of God is an obedient heart. Number one, a spiritual heart. Number two, a hungry heart. Number three, a obedient heart. Number four, a persistent heart. A persistent heart. If you would, from Matthew 7, where we are, look back up in that same chapter at verse 7. Matthew 7, verse 7, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now, there are a variety of applications that we can make of those two sentences of Jesus. And we're going to make this one based on what we're studying right now, reading and studying the Word of God. And we're thinking about the kind of heart that we need for Bible study, and the fourth point we're making here is a persistent heart. One that asks and seeks and knocks. You see, the Word of God is something that we don't approach just lightly and casually. The Word of God is a serious book about serious business. Because this is where we learn about God's expectations for us. This is where we learn about God's salvation that He has planned for us through His grace and the blood of Jesus. This is where we learn about what it takes to be obedient to Him. This is where we learn about how we live our lives accordingly and pleasingly in the sight of God. Consequently, we need to investigate. We need to study. Notice the text that we referred to a little earlier in the lesson from Acts 17 about the Bereans says they searched the Scriptures daily. It didn't say that they just casually read them daily, as good as that would be. But it says that they searched the Scriptures daily. And I think the principle that Jesus is laying down here in Matthew 7 is applicable to what we're talking about in regard to our searching of the Scripture. We ask, we seek, we knock. There is a persistence. There is a continuation of our mindset and our approach to the Scripture. We're asking, We're seeking. We're knocking. We are keeping at it. And we are disciplined enough to follow through. Notice, while I'm not trying to make too much of what Jesus says here, there's almost a progression, isn't there? Of, you know, first you ask. And then you go a little deeper and you seek. And you go a little deeper and you start uncovering things and opening doors and knocking. And you're persistent. And you continue at it. You ask. You seek. You knock. Those are action verbs. And they ought to describe the persistence with which we read and study the Word of God. So number one, we need to have a spiritual heart. Number two, a hungry heart. Number three, a obedient heart. Number four, a persistent heart. And fifth and finally this morning, a teachable heart. A teachable heart. There are many passages perhaps we could refer to establish this point from the Scriptures. And even the one from Acts 17, I think, is very significant, that those Bereans searched the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. They were willing to be taught. They were willing to learn. But I want to refer you to a passage over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 50. And in Isaiah chapter 50, after we are familiar with the man Isaiah, knowing that he's a prophet of God, that he's inspired with the Spirit of God, that he has supernatural, miraculous knowledge, and he knows what to teach based on this divine power that he has been gifted with, Isaiah makes a remarkable statement in chapter 50. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, listen to what he says. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, or some translations say the tongue of those who are taught, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear. Now, look at this last phrase especially. To hear as the learned. The English Standard Version phrases that very last part of Isaiah 50, verse 4, is to hear as those who are taught. To hear as those who are taught. Here is Isaiah the prophet, an inspired man with divine wisdom, supernaturally gifted to teach, and he says, every morning I listen to God to hear as those who are taught. Isaiah is saying, I have a teachable heart. Even though he had divine knowledge and was supernaturally gifted to teach and speak the things that he said and wrote, Isaiah said, I don't know it all. I am still learning. And I want to hear God. And notice how he says, he awakens me morning by morning. Kind of sounds like every day, doesn't it? Kind of sounds like Acts 17 when it says they search the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Morning by morning, he awakens me to hear as those who are taught. And so we need to have the attitude of Isaiah and be willing to learn. I don't know it all yet. And the heart that says, I know enough, is the heart that is in great danger. The heart that is no longer a teachable heart is no longer a learning heart. It is no longer a heart that God can communicate anything to. It's no longer a heart that's going to respond. And if it's not a heart like that, well, it's no longer a hungry heart. It's no longer a persistent heart. And no doubt very soon being obedient and being spiritual may begin to drift away as well. Because we need to have a heart that is willing morning by morning to hear as those who are taught. A teachable heart. We need to have a heart that says, I want to learn more. I learned something yesterday, but I want to learn something else today. And I want to learn more tomorrow. I want to learn. I want to have a teachable heart. This morning, as we draw our lesson to a close, I hope your heart has been a teachable heart in listening to the Word of God. And perhaps you have never obeyed the gospel by becoming a New Testament Christian. And if you have never had your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus when you were baptized in His name, you have hopefully heard the Word of God enough and been taught enough that you have learned as those who are taught, that now you can respond appropriately with an obedient heart and faithfully obey God and faithfully follow Him from this day forward. We encourage you, would you come this morning as we stand and we sing.